Welcome to the Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Trucking Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Trucking, Avery Weiss. As Avery presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading the PDF or PowerPoint of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF and PowerPoint is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads for the Trucking Market Update, as well as the weekly Rail Market Update with Todd Tronowski and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 95, the week of January 18th, 2021. Before we start, a reminder that you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. You can also download a PowerPoint presentation that includes images of those same charts you can use in your own presentations. Before we dig into the data, I want to highlight a couple of regulatory slash judicial developments that have come up since the last podcast. First, a federal appeals court on Friday upheld the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration's ruling in late December of 2018 that the state of California could not enforce its meal and rest break rules on truck drivers that are regulated by federal hours of service. And back in November, FMCSA issued a similar preemption declaration regarding meal and rest break rules in the state of Washington. Washington is under the same jurisdiction of the same appeals court as California, namely the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit, so it appears likely that FMCSA's ruling in that situation also will ultimately be upheld. However, the change in presidential administration does potentially complicate matters. Although the Washington state preemption was issued more than 60 days before the inauguration, it's unclear to what extent the Biden administration could reverse course and whether, even if it did, doing so would have any effect on application of the meal and rest break rules in California and Washington. The other issue I wanted to mention is another pilot program that FMCSA has proposed. You might recall that the agency previously has announced plans to conduct pilot demonstration programs to, one, test using drivers who are younger than 21 in interstate operations, and two, test a pause of up to 3 hours in drivers' 14-hour driving window. The latest action came last week when FMCSA proposed a pilot program to test different splits of rest in sleeper berths than those that are currently allowed. Today, the only splits that are allowed are 8 and 2 or 7 and 3. The proposed demonstration program would test whether 6-4 and 5-5 splits would also produce efficiency benefits without harming safety. This would be a limited program, just as the others would be, and with just a few hundred participants. Now, the latest proposed pilot program has not even been published for comment in the Federal Register. And at this point, the earliest it could go in would be January 20th, which also happens to be the final Federal Register date that is under the control of the Trump administration. Ultimately, the Biden administration controls whether this pilot program moves forward, as well as the other two that I mentioned earlier. And perhaps all three will move forward, but I would not bet heavily on it. Okay, let's get to the data, starting with the spot market for truck freight. Now, following a sharp rebound in the prior week that had resulted in a record, load volume in the truckstop.com system fell more than 8% during the week ended January 15th, which is week two of the year. Total load volume was up more than 65% year over year, and was 152% higher than the five-year average for the week. Truck postings increased about 10% week over week, although the gain was far smaller than the 54% increase the previous week, capacity was up by double-digit percentages in consecutive weeks for the first time in 2 years. The result was a slight easing in the market demand index, which is the ratio of loads to trucks in the system, to the lowest level since week 50 of last year. Dry van load volume fell nearly 21% week over week. Dry van loads were 90% higher than the same 2020 week and nearly 140% higher than the 5-year average for the week. Refrigerated loads dropped nearly 24% to the lowest level in 4 weeks, and refrigerated volume was up about 41% year over year, more than 72% above the 5-year average. However, while dry van and refrigerated volume dropped, flatbed loads increased nearly 5% week over week to the strongest level since June of 2018. Flatbed volume was up 115% from the same 2020 week and nearly 162% ahead of the 5-year average. Okay, let's talk rates briefly. The broker-posted rate per mile, excluding fuel surcharges, fell more than 7 cents to the lowest level in 6 weeks. Rates are about 31% above the same 2020 week and about 22% higher than the 5-year average. However, flatbed rates were up slightly while dry van rates and refrigerated rates dropped significantly. Dry van rates, which fell about 17 cents, we're still up about 42% year over year. Refrigerated rates, which dropped about 21 cents, also were up year over year to the tune of about 26%. And flatbed rates were up about 1 cent and are up about 31% year over year. Okay, normally this is when we talk about petroleum and fuel. However, because of the holiday, diesel prices are delayed by a day. Rather than hold off on our podcast, we'll just skip talking about diesel for a week. We do have info on petroleum, though, and crude prices are generally a bit higher. On Thursday, January 14th, West Texas Intermediate crude closed at $53.57 a barrel, which is the highest price since February 20th of last year. Crude prices came down just a bit on Friday, but the increase overall during the week is probably not good news near-term for diesel prices. Okay, let's wrap up the weekly data with a quick look at a couple of items. The situation with unemployment benefits was mixed in the latest data, depending on whether you focus solely on regular state programs or take into account the two federally funded programs. Initial claims in state programs rose by 181,000 to 965,000 seasonally adjusted during the week ended January 9th. Continued claims were up nearly 200,000 to 5.3 million for the week ended January 2nd. That data lags by week. However, continued claims in the federal programs were down sharply for the week ended December 26th, which is the most recent data available. Continued claims in the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program, that's the program that benefits non-payroll workers, that would include, of course, owner-operators in trucking. Those claims plunged by 940,000 to 7.4 million. Continued claims in the Pandemic Emergency Unemployment Compensation Program, or PEUC, and that's the one that benefits people who've exhausted their state eligibility, those claims fell by 375,000 to 4.2 million. While the movement in the federal program is reassuring, I'm not convinced that it truly reflects the situation. There are a couple of factors that might have artificially lowered those numbers. One issue is that this is unadjusted data that happens to be from the week that included Christmas, so with the days off there, a reduction is not surprising. Moreover, it was the final week of the original authorization for both PUA and PUC, and during that week, it was not totally clear that those programs would be renewed, that also might have artificially lowered continued claims. And we'll just be watching that, of course, in the next few weeks to see whether those numbers continue to come down or whether we see a rebound. Lastly, among the weekly indicators is mortgage rates, which had started the year by setting another record low of 2.65%. However, rising Treasury yields during the past week resulted in a relatively sharp increase in mortgage rates in the latest week. Freddie Mac said that a rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage on average increased to 2.79%. While this rate is still extraordinarily low, continued increases could temper the recent home buying spree that frankly had already cooled a little in November. On the other hand, we also might possibly see an uptick in sales and in mortgage refinancing as consumers rush to lock in lower rates now that it might very well be the case that we've seen bottom. Okay, let's talk about some monthly economic indicators, and we'll start with the industrial sector. Industrial production in December posted its seventh monthly increase in 8 months, and manufacturing output rose for the eighth straight month. The only decline in industrial production during the period occurred in September, and the dip was extraordinarily small, just a tenth of a percent. Industrial production was up 1.6% month over month in December, just the strongest gain since July. However, one contributor was a 6.2% increase in utilities that resulted from higher demand for heating after an unseasonably warm November. At least that was according to the Federal Reserve. Like overall industrial production, mining output was up 1.9%. Manufacturing output increased 0.9%. Motor vehicles and parts manufacturing was a drag on the sector as it fell 1.6%. Excluding automotive, manufacturing was up 1.1%, with durables outpacing non-durables. Despite steady improvement, neither total industrial production nor the manufacturing component have recovered to pre-pandemic levels. Industrial production is still 3.3% below February, seasonally adjusted, and manufacturing is 2.6% below February. While the industrial sector is still not recovered but is improving, the consumer sector is basically the reverse. Retail sales are above February levels, but they have been getting weaker for several months. Total retail and food service sales in December fell 0.7%, seasonally adjusted. However, even this decline arguably is misleadingly strong, as higher gas prices powered a 6.6% increase in gas station sales. And if we exclude gas stations, retail and food service sales fell 1.2%. Also, motor vehicle and parts dealers were among the better performers, with sales up 1.9%. And of course, motor vehicles are the highest price item in retail. So when you take both auto and gas out of the equation, retail and food service sales were down 2.1%, which is a pretty significant decline. Although non-store retail has performed better than other retail categories since February at a gain of nearly 17%, in December it suffered the largest decline at 5.8%. Other big decliners were electronics and appliance stores, down 4.9%, restaurants and drinking places, down 4.5%, and department stores, down 3.8%. Compared to February, retail and food service sales are up 2.6%. While that is certainly better than being below February, as industrial production and manufacturing are, the recent weakness suggests that the retail sector is not performing better now than it would have been absent the pandemic. Until October, it appeared that retail was, in fact, on pace to outperform the growth trajectory we were seeing prior to March. In addition to weak December figures, the Census Bureau's revised data for November showed a slightly steeper drop compared with October. With steady gains in retail inventories and further weakness in sales, retail trade inventories in November were markedly less lean than they had been. The retail inventories to sales ratio rose from 1.23 in October to 1.26 in November. And that's the highest level actually since May. Because automobiles, as I said earlier, are far more expensive than any other retail item, changes in automobile inventories and sales can skew the picture for what we think of normal retail goods. Remember, this data is based on the dollar value of goods. It's not based on the number of widgets. So obviously, the price of goods matters. Excluding motor vehicles and parts, the retail inventories to sales ratio in November and in October were only slightly higher than they had been for several months before. However, if you exclude automotive, retail inventories relative sales also are much closer to the pre-pandemic norm than our total retail inventories. Finally, let's discuss the Producer Price Index, which is a Bureau of Labor Statistics measure of pricing from the seller's perspective, and therefore, to a considerable degree, reflects what's going on in the contract pricing market. The Producer Price Index for truckload services rose 3.2% in December after the record-setting gain of 4.0% in November. The December gain is second only to the November increase as the largest on record. However, with recent increases in diesel prices, this could reflect some producer price index inflation that isn't necessarily linked to underlying rate changes. Year over year, the truckload producer price index was up 6.5% in December. The PPI for less-than-truckload services did not fare as well in December. The LTL producer price index was down 0.4% after a 1% decline in November. Year over year, the LTL producer price index is up 0.8%. By the way, we typically don't discuss the producer price indexes for heavy trucks or trailers in the podcast unless there's something particularly interesting. But if you're curious, you will find charts for both of those in the presentation accompanying this podcast. Again, you can download that at www.ftrretail.com/podcast. So that's it for this week's Trucking Market Update podcast. Let's recap. Spot market volume fell from the prior week's record. Crude prices hit their highest level since February 20th. New and continued claims rose in state programs. Continued claims in federal programs fell sharply. Mortgage rates might have bottomed out, at least for now. Industrial and manufacturing output kept recovering. Retail sales fell for the third straight month. Retail inventories were less lean in November. And the truckload producer price index was up strongly again in December. So that's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, episode 95 for the week of January 18th, 2021. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you will join us next week.
That's it for this week's Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF and PowerPoint of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.